Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Final hour of Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Yesterday, Neil Greenberg of the Washington Post put together a piece based on stats and numbers on just how ineffective the Redskins have been during the Bruce Allen run, which is coming up on its 10-year anniversary, less than 1 week away. Right now, on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, we've got Neil with us to discuss the story. So, Neil, go through some of the numbers and what your research showed you. We all know they've been bad under Bruce Allen, and it's kind of beating a dead horse at this point. But you gave some analytics to this that I think pushed the conversation forward.
Yeah, I think you got to start with his record, right? 62-94-1 during the regular season, the fifth worst winning percentage over that span. I think what really speaks to Allen's overall performance, just in the win-loss column, is how how the team has done after you adjust for opponents. So there's a metrics out there that can adjust for strength of schedule. And when you look at it that way, three of the years under Allen, 2013, 14, and 19, rank among the 10 worst seasons in franchise history. So 88 years, three of the top 10 are under his watch. The other seven are from the 1950s and 60s. So, you know, this is a franchise that had a glorious history in the 80s and 90s, really at the peak. And then along comes Bruce Allen and, really just runs it into the ground. So you're looking at some of the worst performances ever under his watch. And I just try to break it up between, you know, player performance. He's never had a first-team All-Pro on his roster during any time that he's been part of the Washington Redskins front office. Every other team has had at least two. The Redskins have had zero. So I think that you just look at it from top to bottom, whether you're looking at the players, whether you're looking at quarterback specifically, defense, the defense, free agents, draft picks, you know, even attendance, and, you know, the franchise value overall lags in terms of the NFL at large. You know, we joke about, you know, winning on the field, winning off the field, but, you know, Bruce Allen's doing, you know, all he's doing is losing on both.
Neil, is there any metric, is there any measure, is there any tool or lens you could look through to say that this is something that Bruce Allen has done well? I mean, you could pick whatever you want.
Yeah, you know, I looked for that because I felt like, you know, especially when you're going through all his, swing and misses and free agency in the draft, you know, I tried to give him some of the benefit of the doubt and point to some of the positives. But, you know, as far as like an overall team metric, it's very, very difficult. And, you know, I couldn't find any of consequence. I mean, like, you know, I'm sure that they probably, you know, rank highly on, you know, like third down conversions on Thursdays when the weather is above 60 degrees or something like that. But, you know, and overall for a metric that matters, I could not find one where they, you know, over the long term, right, over the entire span, that they were consistently good at one thing. It seems like, you know, this team has only been good at being bad. And, you know, that speaks directly to the imprint that Bruce Allen has had on the franchise.
Neil Greenberg of the Washington Post, 398 winning percentage, fifth worst in the NFL during Bruce Allen's tenure, and obviously a couple different roles. So that should be pointed out. McLuhan was here as a GM. Shanahan had some control in the football operation as well. But a 398 winning percentage under Bruce Allen. So you point out they have the NFL's fifth worst point differential, minus 611 since 2010. The Raiders, the Bucks, the Jags, the Browns have worse records in point differentials. That's it. Oakland and Tampa Bay have new coaches within the last 2 years and are trending up more wins than Washington this year. Jacksonville has been to an AFC championship game recently, and Cleveland is the Browns, so I guess that's your company. You're the NFC version of the Browns. But I thought that was important in this piece, Neil. You point out the other teams where they are kind of belonging. I think Redskins fans sometimes we're reluctant to think this. We always say, oh, they don't get any respect, or why are they rated so low? they are the Browns. They are the dregs of the league, and this is not a year or two. This is 10 years of this.
Yeah, and I would say it's even worse, right, because they're the Browns without the optimism. At least the Browns, have Baker Mayfield under center. That gives them a little bit of hope. They invested a lot of draft assets in trying to get this team better. Cleveland was supposed to be a competitive team this year. They were the talk of the NFL in the preseason about contending for a division title, and this was the year that it was going to turn around. So at the very least, they had reasons for optimism. I think when you look around, especially inside the Beltway at Redskins fans, you know, a lot of their optimism is based on a lot of dreams and wishes, right? There was never really anything very tangible. I know that they got Dwayne Haskins in the draft, and I know, you know, Darius Geis had a little bit of buzz, and of course, you know, some of the defensive players that they picked. But, you know, again, I mean, I don't think there's a lot of people around, whether that's a fan, a coach, a pundit, et cetera, that views the Washington Redskins as even close to a successful franchise. And, you know, like you said, all those teams that you mentioned, they all have more wins than Washington does this year. So even as bad or as disappointing the Browns have been, you know, they're still, you know, you would still want to trade places with them if you were a fan of Washington.
They have a chance for a winning record this year still.
Yeah.
3 weeks left.
Yeah, that's something.
You know, Washington's causing, you know, you to shave the head of one of your teammates over
Steve
there. I mean,
like,
that's really the situation that you're in.
I mean, Neil, you've looked at this through the numbers, and I want to jump back to that in a second. But for me, the worst part about his leadership and his tenure here is I think he's a snake. I think he's a bad person. I point to the Scott McLuhan exit and subsequent, you know, trying to punish him and embarrass him. I look at Brian LaFemina. I look at a number of things, the way they've gone. He's a petty, small man that behaves accordingly. And he has plenty of time to prove me wrong, I guess, but all the evidence kind of points to me being, or you know, me being kind of steadfast in my conclusion. That doesn't enter into your conversation. So to me, his worst impact is cultural. From the number parts of this that you've gone into, what's the most damaging thing about his tenure? What's the worst thing from a numerical perspective?
Well, let me touch on the thing that you just said in terms of, you know, his relationship, or at least his perceived you know, characteristics around the team. I've met Brian LaFemina a couple years ago. I moderated a panel that he was on. I got to speak to him at length when he was still with the NFL. And when it was announced that he was taking the job with Washington, I was actually surprised because, you know, Brian's a very even keel kind of guy. He doesn't pull punches. He was very forthcoming with me, both in private but also on the panel. I saw that in the way that he interacted with others. And I said to myself, I don't know how he's going to survive in this organization. Like, this to me seemed like the worst possible fit because, you know, Brian LaFemina had a lot to offer and just didn't seem to mesh well with the culture that was there based on all the reports that we heard, a lot of which that you touched on. So, you know, I think that your view is shared by many people. As far as, you know, the metrics part of it, stuff that I can actually prove, I think what surprised me the most is how the quarterbacks have fared under his tenure. They seem to always be in a state of trying to find their next franchise quarterback. They found one potentially in Robert Griffin III. That obviously didn't end well. They thought they were going to trade for one in Donovan McNabb. Obviously, that was a disaster. And the one potential franchise quarterback that they had, Kirk Cousins, they treated pretty poorly from a contract standpoint. Not to say that, you know, Kirk Cousins didn't benefit from him. Obviously, he got a ton of money. But, you know, you certainly felt like the team never really looked at Kirk Cousins in any way other than like a mercenary, like a rental. So I think for me, not being able to settle the quarterback position, the most important position in the NFL, and let's face it, you're only going to be as good as your quarterback, right? You can have an amazing running back, amazing wide receivers, great defense, but, you know, it really does mostly come down to the quarterback. And, you know, them not being able to get – their guy and just, you know, being below average for most of the time that Bruce Allen has been here, to me, has been what's done the most damage to them.
Bruce Allen's Redskins tenure has been a failure by almost any measure, is the headline. The story's in the Washington Post. Check it out, written by our guest, Neil Greenberg. Great to have you back on. Thanks so much for the time.
Thanks. Great talking to you guys again.
Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, absolutely. You as well. Be well. There's Neil Greenberg. And again, some of the numbers here, you know it anecdotally. We talk about it all the time. Uh-huh. But when stacked up with the other teams and you account for basically years over eras, it's ugly. This is, right now, the fourth worst season the Redskins have had by way of the numbers that he crunched when you take strength of schedule into account, dating back to 1960. And three of the years under Bruce Allen now, 14, 13, 19, show up in the worst 7 years in franchise history. Staggering.
No joke, man.
We didn't get to our top five NFL power rankings last hour, so we'll do it next on The Fan.
EMP 180 Weight Loss is a weight loss and nutrition company, a proud partner of the Washington Capitals. They're partners with us, partners with so many folks in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia areas that they're helping to become healthier, better versions of themselves. It's a science-based approach. You can run and jump and lift and exercise all you want. Without proper nutrition, you're just spinning your wheels like a hamster. Go see EMP 180, and there's no better time than right now.
Yeah, I'm happy they're linked up with the Caps, my favorite hockey team, my favorite company to help people get healthier. Pretty, pretty good.
Pretty.
EMP 180, this holiday season, is a gift you're going to give yourself because you're going to drop some pounds before the start of the new year. It's going to help you get into the gym and start working out like you want to. Everyone's going to try to wait to lose some poundage until after the holidays, but that's the worst way to do it. The more you gain, the heavier you are, the harder it gets. So call them today, 855-888-0180. That's 855-888-0180, or visit emp180.com and do what I did and Danny did and members of my family have done and get healthier. Because there's more intrigue at the bottom of the top five than the top of the top five right now, why don't we go one down, opposite how we normally do, with our top five NFL power rankings on Grant and Danny. We can start with you.
The Baltimore Ravens are still number one. Escaped with a win over Buffalo. It wasn't sexy, but doesn't always have to be. Just given the schedule, given who they've gone through, teams with unbelievable winning percentage, they've won against all of them, including one of the best games of the year against San Francisco. Maybe neutral site, maybe you'd favor San Francisco, honestly, because as good as the Niners are, but Baltimore won their matchup, so I give the nod to the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, the way that they have dismantled bad teams and beaten good teams recently is everything you need to know. They are the best team in the NFL at 11-2. They are tied for the best record with San Francisco, but they've got a much more difficult resume. Now, they play in the SEC and San Francisco's Clemson, and they play in the ACC, and I don't mean that the NFC West isn't outstanding. It's very good, but they've only played Seattle once. They lost. They've still got a game coming up with the Rams again. Their schedule up until a couple weeks ago had been a cakewalk. Their big win over Green Bay turned the tide a little bit for, I think, how legitimate people viewed them. So I'll put Baltimore number one. Number two for me is the aforementioned San Francisco 49ers, plus 168 in point margin. In case you're curious, the other first-place teams in the NFC, New Orleans, plus 48, Green Bay, plus 39, Dallas, plus 67. The Niners are almost plus 170. It's not their fault they didn't play anybody until the Packers. Then they shellacked the Pack, by the way. They almost beat the Ravens. You saw what they did with New Orleans. Toe-to-toe, on the road, at the Saints. Jimmy Garoppolo had the game of his season, and they're doing this not healthy. Richard Sherman, other players on defense, banged up. They're down a bunch of wide receivers, so it's the Deebo Samuel and Emmanuel Sanders show right now. San Francisco number two for me.
When George Kittle's healthy, that offense is just different. And he's healthy, and that offense is different. You could see they can win a bunch of different ways. They're number two for me as well. So I'll jump to the number three team. This may be my version of the Niners, right, where I have a hard time giving them trust. I'm finally trying to embrace what I'm seeing. The fight that they showed, and frankly, they had a great chance to win this football game and maybe should have. The New Orleans Saints are my number three team in the NFL. That loss, believe it or not, showed me an awful lot. You play that game again, as soon as it ended, they probably could have won it. The comeback, the ability to score in a bunch of different ways. I still think defensively they're better than they showed against San Francisco. That was just how that game flow played out. I've seen that group shove it on some pretty decent offenses. New Orleans Saints, it's still Breeze, it's still Thomas, it's still Kamara, and it's still Sean Payton with a pretty good defense. They're my number three team.
I like the Saints there just to be slightly different. I'm going to flip-flop my third and fourth team so that we have a little debate here. I'll go Seattle third after their awful loss. They lost to the Rams. I'm just pretending like it didn't happen and giving them a mulligan. I think they were kind of due, but they're 10-3. They went into that game 8 games over .500. Weirdly enough, they're only plus 20 in point margin, which doesn't stack up.
Isn't that odd?
Here's why, though. They play close, tight games because they have an antiquated, old-school way of doing it. Now, they're great at it, and it's what they should do. They run the ball on first, second, and third down. They occasionally ask Russell Wilson to take some deep shots. They make a big play or two in the passing game per week. But when you play that way, and it's a time of possession game, basically, scores stay lower, games stay closer. We've seen it with the Redskins. Even when they're losing now, they're losing closer games because there are fewer possessions, and there's just not as much time you're taking the air out of the ball for your opponent to score. So you're not going to outscore teams by 150 when you're running it 30-plus times a game, generally speaking.
It's a good explanation.
Points don't come from the running game that way, which is why they've got 50-some fewer points than some of the other teams in the NFC. That having been said, Seattle, my friend, is my number three team. I'll put New Orleans fourth.
Number four for me, Seattle Seahawks, you covered it. Russell Wilson is still great. I keep saying this. It hasn't happened, especially last week when the Rams did whatever the heck they wanted. I still think this defense is going to be formidable come playoff time. I think when Clowney is in there, they're a different defense. If he's healthy, they don't get after the passer particularly well. We're not used to seeing that from Seattle. We're used to them basically rushing four, getting home, getting interceptions, beating up receivers. Not really happening right now. The defense isn't excellent. I do think it's going to play better as the season progresses. We're into December now, so I'm running out of time to be right. But I've got them at number four, just a tick behind New Orleans, mostly because of that recent game against the Rams where they didn't really look the part.
Kansas City Chiefs, the number five team in my power rankings. I've kind of tried to be ahead on them rather than behind. Maybe a week early, jumped in and saying that they were back. But it's starting to look like they're rounding into form. I love their win over New England. I think they're going to handle the Broncos at home this weekend with ease. Their most tricky game coming up on the slate here is the Bears, who are playing much better. That's a Sunday Night Football nationally televised game at Soldier Field next week. I think they win their last two division games with Denver and San Diego. LA. I dropped the San Diego.
Don't pull a me.
Dollar in the jar for your guy. But they're going to win those two games. They will, I think, beat the Bears. That'll be a closer game. But the Chiefs are going to get to 12 wins, and they are going to have a chance potentially to take the first week of the playoffs off. The whole key is Patrick Mahomes.
He's beat up this
healthy,
year.
And he is. I think closer to 100% now than he was 6 weeks ago.
We've got the same deal right there, Kansas City number five. So here's what I'm going to quote tweet you and then add my comment to it. Neither of us have the Patriots. Neither of us have the Packers. Less significantly, neither of us have the Vikings or the Bills, a couple 9-4 teams there at the end. I had less problem with the last two than what's Green Bay done wrong. They're 10-3. What have the Patriots done wrong? Well, we know their offense stinks, but they're 10-3 as well, having outscored opponents by 170 points. They've outscored opponents by more than they've given up this year. They've given up 168 points. They've outscored their opponents by 170. Tell you how dominant they've been. And they didn't make either of our top fives. But I've got the same one. I got Kansas City in there as well. This is everybody was really excited to say Kansas City's not the same. And they forgot. They forgot to watch. What's happening here lately is they are back. They are back. And it's without even Tyreek Hill doing huge things. It's without their army of really fast receivers doing run after the catch stuff. Defensively, they're okay. Get after the passer a little bit. But to me, this is about Mahomes and about a brilliant coaching job by Andy Reid and company.
All right, let's do this real quick.
Go ahead.
Worst teams in football. Let's go bottom.
Okay, so number one is the worst?
Yeah, I think let's do it this way. Let's go 32 up. Mm-hmm. All right. Dead last for me is still Cincinnati at 1-12.
Yep.
But the Bengals have a win and a close loss in the last 2 weeks.
Cincinnati's still the worst. Although when they have Dalton, they're still the worst by not as much.
Yep. Next conversation could be between Jacksonville, who's getting annihilated every week now. They're trending in the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm.
4-9. Miami 3-10, probably the two other worst teams in the AFC. And then you have three awful NFC teams. I won't even put Arizona in the conversation. They have the same record as Detroit. But the Lions, who the Redskins beat, the Redskins and the Giants, I think those are the teams in the photo here.
I'm going to go New York Giants, having lost a million straight games, whatever the actual number is.
Nine.
Yeah. They were
2-2. They're now 2-11.
That's amazing. They were 2-2. They've quit. It looks like Shermer's a disaster. It looks terrible. They can't get Saquon Barkley going, despite, you know, giving the ball a million
times.
Bringing
him back early when he's got a high ankle.
Yeah, seriously. They screwed that pooch. To me, the Giants are the second worst team.
So, I got to be honest. I think the Giants are better than you do. Not by a lot, I guess, probably. But I am going to put the Dolphins next and maybe the Redskins right after that. I think the Giants are better than both of those teams. If you look at their resume, so many close one-possession losses for them this year. By the way, they beat the Redskins by 3 touchdowns when they played them.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget that. But the Cardinals, 6-point game. Lions, 5-point game. The Jets, 1-possession game. Now, I know these are bad teams.
Mm-hmm.
Bears, 5-point game. They just played the Eagles, who might make the playoffs and win their division, 6-point game. They have more close losses than most of these terrible teams do.
Let me Samuel Jackson and allow me to retort. Look at what these Miami Dolphins, who you've written off, sir, over the last several weeks have done. They are 3-3. They beat those Jets. They went on the road and beat the Colts. Now they got drummed by the Bills, but they had a 1-possession loss against Cleveland. They had a win against the Eagles and a 1-point loss against the Jets. They're competitive, more so now than they were earlier in the season when they were losing by 31-6 every week.
Yeah, I think just their overall lack of talent is what bothers
me. You're bothered by the lack of talent?
If they played the Redskins Sunday, who beat them earlier in the year, I might pick the Redskins, but only by a field goal.
By
or
a little.
So they picked the Giants, particularly if Daniel Jones was at quarterback. I think I would pick the Giants.
All right, so give me your five. Your bottom five? Your stinky five?
Your smelly five? Worst team in the league is the Bengals, then the Dolphins, then the Redskins, then the Giants, then the Lions, in that order.
Cincy, the most worst. Giants, second most worst. Miami, third most worst. Detroit, and then Washington.
Ooh.
Then Washington.
See, I have the Lions better than the Redskins, even though they lost to them, but I'm acting as if Matt Stafford's their quarterback when he's really not.
It's so
like
much
David
more
David Blau or Jeff Driskel. So, yeah, maybe if that's your quarterback situation, maybe they should be the worst team in the
Jeff
league. They may not win again.
They stink on ice.
Grant and Danny on the Fan will start to look ahead to this weekend's games in the NFL. Also, the Caps have a massive contest tonight with the Bruins, and there's some Nats news that came out over the last half hour on some players they are plugged in on. We'll tell you some of those names. You've heard of most of them on G&D on the Fan. Tomorrow, right here on Grant and Danny, at noon, we will be cutting Chris Russell's hair and shaving his head. You could save for charity, because we've now looped in a charity, so that some of you can get out the scissors and the clippers and get involved. But really, it's just because he thought the Redskins were going to win 7 games this year. And the best they could do is now 6-10. So the time to pay the piper has come. He had wiggled a little bit. Acted like he was going to try to get out of it.
Got a really close haircut.
He is following through, though. To our knowledge, he has not gotten another haircut since getting a buzz cut a few weeks ago. So hopefully it's grown out long enough to actually be able to trim some of those hairs with some scissors. It's going to be a good time tomorrow. By the end of the day, he will be bald. It's going to be really fun. And that's happening live on the radio at noon. So make sure you're listening to Grant and Danny at this time tomorrow for Chris Russell complaining about how cold his head feels indoors. If you've never been bald before, and I have not, I just have to imagine that's the weirdest feeling in the world. Thom, you might have to grab the microphone here as our resident bald guy. Dar has a great head of hair. He's never going to go bald. Danny, let me see the back of your head. How you looking? I think you've got, you're not going
Danny's
bald.
Fine.
No,
yeah.
I've had this power alley on my right side since childhood. So people go, oh, you're receding in that spot.
Right.
I'm not. It's
you
the same weird angle here.
Essentially, two widow's peaks on the corners of your forehead. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, but the left one, you're right. So stage left has never really been that big a deal. The right one, I just have a misshapen thing.
Turn that way?
You could see it.
Yeah, yeah, like,
it's way further back. It's always been that way. Just genetic defects. Just a bad lot.
But you're not going to go bald.
No baldness in the family.
And
nobody's
knock on wood,
bald.
Hopefully I won't. I don't know. But my dad's got a full head of hair right now. I feel good about that. But I'd imagine when I shave my face in the winter, It's so noticeable and different every second of every waking moment, especially when you walk outside. When he first comes up for air, Thommy, after leaning back in that barber's chair tomorrow, I mean, how obvious is it going to be when he walks outside for the first time? What are we talking about here?
When he walks outside, it's going to be really bad because I know he's not going to be prepared. There's a reason why Pete Medhurst, Cakes, and I, we all wear beanies pretty much all the time, and it's to protect our bald heads. The thing that's going to get Russell immediately, and even if he's listening to this, he'll go, no, that's not going to be a problem, whatever. He's going to have phantom hair flips for the first week where he's going to run his hands through his head.
It's going to be spiky.
Thinking there's going to be hair there and there's going to be nothing there. When I first shaved my head in 2012, I did that for weeks, thinking I was like adjusting my hair and there was nothing there.
It's just a tick that you do.
Right. That's going to be his thing.
After shaving your head the first time, I'd imagine that's a huge decision. You're thinking about it for a while.
Lifestyle change, as some would say.
Some would say. You got to punt, right? And you go, okay, this is a losing battle now.
Yeah, right.
When you do that, do you quote, not look back? I mean, I understand that you can't put the hair back on, but does any part of you go, I wish I wouldn't have done it yet?
Well, you know what? For me, when I finally shaved off the hair that I had left, I thought, I could probably go back to it if I wanted to. But then when I saw it grow in naturally after like 2 weeks of shaving my head, you realize how nubs you were on top to begin with. And then you go, I'll just stay like this for the rest of my life.
So I give you so much credit because there's so many people that just can't acknowledge.
I can't
like,
do
you
it.
Know, when you're in the real world versus in the Matrix, they think they look like they do in the Matrix with like a cool coat on and glasses. They think the hair is awesome and it's not. They're just holding on for dear life. I give you a lot of credit for acknowledging, no, this is what I am.
I am very happy that I got out ahead of it as opposed to, you know, a little too late.
You got to trade that player a year too early.
Yeah, right.
Andy Reid found that out, and he's perfected that.
He has.
Throughout his career, and the Redskins have paid the price for a while dealing with Andy Reid. Dar, what do you think? How's tomorrow going to go? Smoothly? Do we have any updates on planning? Are we going to be able to offer lunch? What do we know?
So we don't have that lockdown yet, but okay. We do have a barber lockdown from Roosters.
Roosters Grooming Lounge for the Rooster. Well played, sir.
Thank you. I wish I could take full credit for that, but they stepped up. They wanted to be a part of this. They wanted to make sure the Rooster was taken care of.
Can we get him a good shave as well?
He doesn't deserve one.
But I think we should give him a nice shave. I want a bald face with a bald head.
You know what?
Do they do eyebrows?
I was just going to say, you know what they could shave? Are his eyebrows.
I don't think he's going to want that done.
I think it might just happen.
What do we know? Do we have any kind of feel on if people are going to come and cut his hair with us, or is it just going to be the four of us?
I think we've seen a lot of people with interest in coming. Whether or not they show up will be a big test.
We've built it.
They
now have to come.
They have to come.
Otherwise, we're just going to have some fun. We're going to be mowing the lawn.
I'm okay with that. If we go downstairs and it's just us and the shorts taking pictures of us.
Good audio.
Shaving Russell's head.
Landfill will be there. We can guarantee that.
So here's what I'm a little worried about this, too. You're going to need to be down there. Have you set someone up to run the board yet so that you can be involved?
I actually have a proxy who will be taking my piece on my behalf.
Is that Cookie Duck Dynasty?
I can't release who that is.
Hold on. Time out. Are you saying you're not going down there to take the hair?
I have to be up here.
Tom's got to run this thing.
Don't you want to just have one of the guys do it and go down?
I would like to, but responsibilities come first. So I am sending.
Wait, wow! Did we sending just unearth it? You have a trick up your sleeve for tomorrow?
There's a swerve.
I have a couple.
Oh man!
When Russell a couple weeks ago started talking about how he had things up his sleeve, in the real order of bit day, I started doing the exact same thing. I guarantee you that the things that are up my sleeve are better than whatever he has planned.
Oh wow!
But I have to send an ambassador to actually take the hair.
So you're not going to be down there tomorrow?
I will be down there for certain parts, but not when it comes down to actually getting him bald.
Very good. Someone's going to take the clippers for you.
I'm wondering. Now I want to know.
Speaking of clippers, there's a clip I want to play really quickly. This was on MLB Network today, and I just want people to hear this. I want them to rub it all over them like lotion and lay there and enjoy this and think about what could have been. This is Johnny DePuglia. He's doing a segment on MLB Network with, I believe it's Matt Fiskersian and Harold Reynolds. I didn't get a good look at who's hosting in the video, but I know HR is involved. I hear his voice. DePuglia is one of the scouts they're talking to. He was the 2019 International Scout Award winner. So that's why he was live on the show. They asked in this segment, kind of a roundtable, about the player that got away. Listen to what Johnny DePuglia, who runs the international market for the Nats, who found in the Dominican Republic Victor Robles and Juan Soto. Listen to what he says.
Who slipped away from you, Johnny? Anybody?
Most recently, this one's really deadly for me because Ronald Cunha. I had Ronald Cunha verbal league agreement with him. Later on the day, he said he wanted more money, and I didn't amp up. So I could have had Ronald Cunha, Juan Soto, and Victor Robles.
Oh man. You wouldn't just be scouted the year. You'd be scouted the decade.
I wouldn't, sure. I wouldn't be on a one-year deal right now.
Hey, congratulations on the honor.
Wow. Oh, my. So the Nats had one of the great runs over the last couple of years in the DR of any organization. You know, in Latin America, DePuglia puts on a clinic. Can you imagine if they would have gotten a deal done with Acuna, who's the only, I would say, young player in baseball that's as good as Juan Soto? He might be a little better just because he's a better defender.
He's incredible.
Plays more marquee position in center. Stole 37 bases, led the league with 127 runs, and last year hit 41 home runs and drove in 100 runs for the Braves, hit 280. He's going to win an MVP award in the next couple of years. Was a rookie of the year and a top five MVP finisher. The Nats, apparently, I'd never heard this
story.
I never heard this before. Almost signed Acuna. They had a verbal commitment, and then he wanted more money, and they didn't up their offer.
And so I tweeted out this clip saying, oh, my God, can you imagine? I just threw up a little bit, like, ha, 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 what a fun thing. Immediately getting responses that are very snarky, like, how many rings does Acuna have? And how dare you complain about the net? Not a complaint. Just a fun thing. Why does it have to be like this? Why does it have to be so toxic? This is neat. Every scout, by the way, every scout that's ever scouted has 2,000 of these stories. Everybody saw Mike Trout and said no, or everybody saw Brian McCann, or everybody saw Derek Jeter and said no thank you because he grounded out at the shortstop a couple times in Michigan. It's fun. That's all it is. It's just fun. Relax.
Next on Grant and Danny, much anticipated part of the show, we're going to tell you what we're going to eat for dinner tonight. Also, we'll preview the Caps and the Bruins.
I got to know.
And your Wednesday sports schedule laid out for you on The Fan. Anthony has asked if there is a way to donate online for the Russell Baldathon. Says some of us are out of the area, can't make it, but want to donate. We will absolutely say yes to that, of course, for a good cause. We will tweet out the links tomorrow at noon. As soon as Russell sits down in that seat, and we know he's paying off the bet, the links are out, and you can make those donations, and we will start to accept folks donating so that they can get the scissors and the clippers ready for Chris Russell. I believe Josh is coming tomorrow. He's called us. He's in Upper Marlboro. What's up, Josh? How are you?
I'm doing great, fellas. Yeah, I will definitely be there. Definitely there is some listener interest. I may drag my wife along with me. We've actually looked into some Shave the Rooster t-shirts on Next Day t-shirts, some Next Day t-shirt website.
Oh, that's big time.
Wait, too into this. We'll be there. That's one thing. Other quick thing, and Danny's not going to like this, but Grant, want to see what you think about it. If we're going to be consistently anti-squelch or anti-weather, the field goal challenge conversation into this. We haven't come back to it in a while. Danny, you have a commitment that's been hanging out there.
Yes.
And we need to, you know, if we're going to be against Rooster, we need to talk about this a little bit.
So I think it's perfectly fair to bring
up. Danti is anti-squelch as long as it doesn't involve him kicking field goals.
Perfectly fair to bring that up. Perfectly fair. And I would say it's perfectly fair to me to say I'm not doing it. I'm not here for your amusement. I don't care what you do. I don't care where we do it. I don't care how we do it. I'm not doing that. So make fun all you want.
Well, we can't do it right now because Danny has not been cleared to get back on the playing field.
Medically cleared. We're a long way from that.
You're not medically cleared for sure. But, I mean, in fairness, I think his point is we're busting on / Arini.
That's a good point.
For potentially welching on a bet.
I got no problem
and
with that.
You have welched on that for many years.
Mm-hmm. I have squelched on that, I believe. I want to make sure we're correct about that.
It should also be noted, even though Danny disputes this, that he welched on making a welcher.
Did not.
Where he didn't actually
not
ever
correct.
Pay the price the way that he was supposed to. What happened was there was a bet on snow totals. He lost that bet.
Incorrectly, by the way.
Okay. However it happened, he lost the bet.
Mm-hmm.
And because he lost the bet, he was supposed to have to go a full week gluten-free among some other things. And he just told us that he'd already done it for the last week with no evidence, no proof.
Well, I had evidence.
He wanted time previously served. He just wanted to do it on his own.
He showed up at court when he was found guilty and goes, ha ha, already was in jail. I just didn't leave my room for a month.
Right, time
and because I didn't
served,
leave my room for a month, it's the same as being in a jail cell. So guess what? Joke's on you. And he never actually paid off the bet.
I did. I was
so
gluten-free for a week.
So that's two times that you have squelched.
Not correct. Gluten-free for a week. Everything I said about that is correct.
We have no proof of that.
You did. I brought photos in of the things that I ate.
You did have some photos of a couple of meals.
If you take pictures of your food, you're a jackass. Congratulations on your meal. Everyone eats multiple times per day. But I did take pictures of that food to explain to you guys that I'd actually done
but
this.
But I forgot that you can't snack and not take a picture of it, and we would never know that you had that snack.
The point of the entire thing, and again, I was correct about this, it wasn't about what was true, wasn't about what was just, it was about making fun of me. So I removed that. I took that away from you, and it sticks in your craw to this day.
Just like if it's making fun of Russell, it's not. It's just that he's got to shave his head.
Sure.
So you had to go a week gluten-free, and you, behind our back, supposedly, we have no way to know that you did.
Except for the proof.
Never asked anybody. I might ask your wife next time I see her. Did Danny actually do that? But you just showed up and said, hey, guess what? I know that I sped, but I've already paid $350 to charity, so now I don't have to give you the speeding ticket. Camera money.
I don't know. What I said was correct then and correct now. I did it. I robbed you of your joy. So F all three of you. I was right. Everything about what I did was right. The bet was correct. And I served the punishment anyway, knowing that I was going to get screwed and jobbed in the entire proceeding.
Which was Danny's worst squelch? And of course, we say squelch in honor of / Arini. Was it the gluten-free week that he supposedly served without any of us knowing before he even, quote-unquote, lost the bet, by the way? Because he did that before the hearing. That's what's funny. We had a court hearing to determine whether he won or lost, and supposedly he'd already been paying off the bet for a week.
It was a jury of his peers.
Right.
And I would say that it's probably the field goal kicking aspect of it, because we had current Redskins players that were going to come out. We had a celebrity.
Former MVP.
Celebrity
Mark
chef.
Mark Mosley.
Who was going to participate.
Was it actually Mark Mosley was going to do it, or was it his son?
No, his son volunteered that he would bring his dad.
Oh, like his dad.
And so he was going to be there. I believe his son, who works with Five Guys, was going to provide lunch for everybody.
Five Guys so much.
Sundberg was in.
We had Sundberg to snap, Tressway to hold. You're literally an NFL kicker now. Dustin Hopkins to coach. Are you kidding me? It was the greatest event we've ever had planned.
The fact that it didn't happen is the number one seed, because Danny did sit on trial in the other studio there with the jury of his peers. Even though he punished himself ahead of time, we did get justice.
Do you guys actually think he punished himself ahead of time?
I think he did, but at the same time, what if Russell just comes in with his head shaved tomorrow? It's not like Danny can be mad at him. It's exactly what he did.
No, well, we're going to be furious at him. We're allowed to be furious at him.
Russell can be. It's very similar. I would say
I was nowhere near as upset as you guys were. Russell just got a haircut. Like, if he'd shaved his head already, that's the punishment. You just deprived yourself of the charity money. But he just got a really short haircut.
No, but you,
that's
if,
what's
if
annoying.
We go back to last week when we talked about it, you were not thrilled that he got a haircut.
Right,
a
haircut's very
that's
different
the
than
exact
a head shave.
Same thing than what you
not
had
the
done.
Same. Not the same. That would have been if I went vegetarian.
I hadn't
or
thought
kind
about
of gluten
it.
Free. Here's what's the
so
same.
You went gluten free ahead of when you had to go gluten free.
Right. So here's what would be the same. And again, everything I'm saying about this is correct.
We didn't get any payoff. Russell just doesn't want us to laugh at him,
right.
So he's going to shave his head first.
Here is, again, everything I'm saying is correct. So if Russell had actually shaved his head beforehand and took the joy from us, that would be the same. He just got a haircut, which is a move that doesn't make sense. That's very different.
For the record, he got a buzz cut to the point where no one could actually cut his hair. So he did steal the joy, and the Redskins paid him back by giving us extra time to cut his hair.
That's a good point. Thanks to the Redskins for their two wins.
Way to go, Skins.
I hadn't linked those two together. I think you're onto something, Dar.
No,
it was
a very
Rouye move.
Mm-mm.
Traded Danny just said, Russell should pull a Danny and say that he already shaved his head, but it's grown back. That would be a play for
him. If
tomorrow.
He was able to provide pictures, it would fly in the court of law.
We have the pictures, unfortunately.
We do have
And
photos.
He buzzed his head.
Tomorrow at noon, we're shaving Chris Russell's head. Tonight, the Caps and the Bruins, a 7 o'clock puck drop, game of the season, Capital One Arena. What's for dinner?
Please score a million goals on Yaroslav Halak. It's probably going to be pizza. Wife's out of town. What am I going to do?
Keep it simple.
Yeah. Somebody's getting an order.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Thanks for listening. Much appreciated. Back at it at 10 a.m. We'll see you right here downstairs at 1015 Half Street at noon if you want to help save Chris Russell's head.
And now our watch is in.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.